to the podcast, where we talk about all the things that are hidden in the shadows. This is Isaac.
And this is Megan.
Hey, it's been a while.
It's been a while.
Like, everyone's going, where the hell have you been?
Yeah.
doing other podcasts, I know. Getting our name out there in other episodes, other places. One that will be out by the time you're listening to this is us on a podcast called Send the Booze.
Not Send the Booze, it's just Send Booze.
Send Booze?
Yeah. You keep saying Send the.
I don't know, in my head it makes sense, but Send Booze, I guess. Yeah,
that's because I think there's another podcast way back when, like, pandemic area, that is called Send the Booze.
That's okay. So it's Send Booze.
Yeah, Send Booze, because you send in stories.
Yeah.
Get it?
Yeah. So go listen to us on that. We do a good interview. You hear us blow their minds on the podcast more than anything.
Yeah. Really cool people. Like, if you want to check out another paranormal podcast, highly recommend. And you like us, like, kind of like our banter that goes back and forth, and how we almost take like a comedic kind of route to, we're a little bit less serious depending on the subject, and they're the same way, and they're just really great people. I like them a lot.
Also recording as a bonus episodes for the future. Stuff is coming out, so we got a lot of content coming. I know we've been gone for a little bit, but we're also going to have a lot more stuff for you guys to listen to here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. And you guys get a bonus episode, not this week, but next week, on my abilities, because I think a good portion as to why necessarily we weren't recording. I mean, Isaac had his own things, but like, for me personally, my abilities and different things in the spiritual awakening area of things was kind of like going off.
Yeah, I get injured.
Again.
No.
It's not funny, but it's just the ironicness of it.
So it was raining while I was working, and
he slipped on algae.
Why do you ruin stories before they even get told? God. First it was, you pushed my demon. And now it's slipped on algae. Whatever Irish accent you tried doing.
No, it was Australian from Peppa Pig.
It sounds Scottish.
No, she always goes, algae.
Is there anybody Australian on the show? No, they're all English.
Maybe she was Scottish.
Yeah.
I suck at accents. Yeah. For people that know, like, no, I suck at accents. Like, I cannot do them.
Anyway. No, it was raining, and I guess whoever customer's house I went to, they didn't clean their back deck, and it was just, like, a thick layer of, like, slime. Because I remember when I fell and slipped on it, I smelled like a river. Like, I smelled like you fall in a river. That's what the smell reminded me of. I was like, oh, great, I got this on me. But
you smelled like algae.
I know. What pissed me off so damn much about it is the fact that my arm was like 90% healed. It was like almost done. And then I slipped and I had like a little canteen sprayer thing with me in my hand. And I had to chunk it because I wanted it to land on my left arm instead of versus the right. But I'm right hand dominant. So automatically my right reached out because that's a reflex. But also, luckily, that their deck was so slimy that my heel of my hand just slipped on the deck as soon as it hit it, and I only injured my arm just a tidbit more.
Oh my gosh, if they have cameras. Some of these people.
I was only down for like a second. Just enough to go boom, slide, and get up. And then I was so goddamn, I was so fucking pissed. I was like, I'm not finishing their stop. I'm leaving now.
Yeah.
And then
it like re-injured your back, right?
Well, that's another thing too. I guess it knocked my sciatica back into like, I don't know, back to what it originally was when I first got injured. This is what it felt like anyway. So I had to take a week off work for it to get healed. But I'm back normal now. It hurts like it always does, but not so much that I can't do anything. But those couple of days, I couldn't able to sleep because I wasn't able to sleep properly because my back was hurting so much.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah. And then I had to get time for my arm to heal. But now, arms, yeah, a little bit of bruises on it. You can kind of see it's kind of fading away. So I'm probably like 80% now. Now I just got to avoid falling down. I'm very top heavy, so a little. I don't know. I just try to like roll. I guess I don't know. Next time I just avoid any slippery areas or try not to trip. I don't trip easy. Like, I had people always try to trip me in school.
Aren't you the one that's always rolling your ankle, though, too?
Yeah. It's my left ankle, though. I just got to wear a brace. I'm falling apart. I'm old. Anyway. But no, that's kind of another reason why we had to take another... We took that week off, and then we had cases, and then we've been doing bonus stuff, so it's been a little bit, so we able to have time to record.
Yeah. And then you'll hear my perspective, kind of, because I haven't had kind of this roller coaster of, like, mental stuff, I guess you could say. And it's definitely part of, like, spiritually awakening and stuff like that. Since I first started in with, like, my abilities and all of that stuff. So I'll explain that when I get to my abilities, because I went through this, like, period of, like, funkiness. And then it kind of opened this door to, like, a bunch of, like, downloads and realizations and all of this stuff that, like, opened up more stuff about my abilities, which is now, like, upgraded. So,
yes.
So that'll be in another episode.
But speaking of your abilities, today is all about what you're most proficient.
Remote viewing.
Yes, remote viewing with your terrible accents.
Yeah.
Remote viewing has been something that's been existed with psychic mediums all throughout time, though it's something that was very proficient in late 60s, early 70s, mm-hmm. Especially with the military, with psychic spies and stuff. It became a very realistic thing, so much that the Montauk Project was created, the idea of it, and secret spies and stuff like that. The whole reason why Stranger Things, I'm sorry, show is based on is the idea of creating psychic soldiers in order to spy and go, because one of course, Eleven's abilities is that she can remote view into locations and spy on people. That's why she's in that dark world. At least that's her interpretation of it. But then you see like a stronger form of it towards the last season.
Yeah.
Where she's able to like damage one by in that remote viewing world. She's not even physically there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I think, like, why I personally like Stranger Things so much is because a lot of the things that were painted in that show kind of is how I kind of remote view, or because we're going to talk about the difference, because sometimes the remote viewing and astral projection kind of like merge into each other, but they're technically two different things. But technically with me, I kind of do both at the same time. So we're going to talk about the difference of that. But a lot of how she like interacted with the Upside Down, or like when she would go and look at people, is similar to, I guess, how I would interact with the ether.
Well, why don't you go ahead and explain how you see remote view and how you do it?
So essentially the way so my definition, like when I explain remote viewing or astral projection to somebody, to me remote viewing is like going there but not leaving my body, if that makes sense. Going there and almost like taking a screenshot of what's there, and I can dictate if it's like, if I follow almost like the energy of an object, a place, or a person. And it almost allows me a screenshot. So when I remote view, it kind of just gives me where I'm not interacting with anything there. I'm not like manipulating anything. I'm just viewing, right? Like I'm looking through a window and seeing everything, right? And if I do that with more of like the ether, I can see what's there entity-wise. But if I do it on like the physical plane, I could see like, or like trace a person essentially. But then astral projection is more of like you're out of body, kind of like what you do when you like dream and stuff like that. And I could do that on command. Like I could look at you and go somewhere else.
I know when I ask you a question, I tell you about a place and you start staring off into space. Like you're not here anymore. You're there where I talked about. And then you come back like, oh. But what makes you the most, makes us together, right? Like I said, the most dangerous duo for evil entities is the fact one of your main abilities with remote viewing is that you are the one that goes. So say someone's message us about a case, right? They have something going on in their house. You can remote view into their location, but with just a picture, even just their name, and you can find them and see where they are and then check out their house, see what's going on. You're the one that tells me, oh, make sure you check the attic, or you make sure you check this closet, or you check this mirror, because you're seeing where the entities are. Mm-hmm. And that's why when I do a video call with somebody, I go, hey, you need to check over here, and check over here, and check over here.
Yeah, a good example is so anybody that's been listening to the podcast for a while and knows the whole body bagging thing, body bagging doesn't occur when I remote view. Body bagging occurs when I astral project, if that makes sense. Remote viewing is kind of like if someone sends me a picture and they say, hey, what's there? That's when I remote view. But astral projection is like when I go to a place and I actually manipulate what's there or talk to what's there.
And what the weirder part of everything is, when you're awake, just like how we're sitting here, you remote view and go somewhere. But when you meditate or focus enough, like you need to be like laying down, listening to certain music, and you meditate and focus, you can go higher in some weirder places. And like some things that you described to me, the things you've seen and talked to, it just like way out their worlds. Like it's like if you're able to focus and meditate, you can go to higher dimensional planes or talk to different beings that are, you know, depicted as gods or whatever. It's just like you go way up in the sky.
Yeah.
And some of the things you told me, I'm like, what the shit? But that's like when you're focusing your ability. So, but most of the time, it's always just to go to a location and tell us what's haunted there, and then. Yeah, how do we, or where to take care of it?
Yeah, and I know sometimes I use the word channel, like, when it comes to, like, research, like, when I say, like, I research and I channel a place, it's more so I'm astral projecting there and channeling what's there. Like, I'm putting a fishing line out there. Because if I were to just channel, I would just feel like what energy is there. But it's more so I'm there interacting with something and something's following me back. If that makes sense.
Yeah. So the body bagging thing, you have to technically
I have to leave my body to do that.
Yeah.
So if you guys see me on interviews, because some of these interviews, I'm showing my face. So if you see me kind of zoned out when someone's, especially if someone's telling me a story, because that's another thing that happens is, and I'll go way more in depth with this in the abilities episode, but like when someone's telling me a story, right? Especially if it happened to them, I see what happened to them. It's not like I'm just kind of imagining. I actually see it in real time. So like if you start telling me about your grandmother, or you start telling me about like an event that happened that's traumatic or something like that, I start seeing it like movie clips, right? So a lot of the times if you start talking to me about a place, I automatically start going there. I wish I had more control over astral projection, but I've been doing this since I was a kid. Like, this is not something necessarily new. And I didn't realize that until a lot of this kind of like reviewing of my abilities and what I've kind of been through over the last couple of years. And even as a kid, I definitely did as a kid a lot. And I thought it was normal, apparently. But.
Well, it's your astral remote viewing thing is how you talk to people who has passed on. That's how you find them. You, like, say someone shows you a picture of someone who's passed away. You can go, well, do you still need the music, or you just need to see the face?
Oh, no, I just can see the face and I can go.
Yeah, you go find them to wherever they technically are, or a place that, say, that person has, like, made for anyone who comes find them. Because, like, you find my friend Jorma in his old house, right? Mm-hmm. And you were listening to Metallica at the time, which was me and his favorite band that we would always bond over. And you found him, like, kind of, like, you know, rocking out to it, and then he started talking to him, right? Mm-hmm. And how you described him to me in the room, the house he was in, that was the house that he grew up in. Mm-hmm. I would stay over sometimes when I stayed over at his house. So it's like you don't essentially find them anywhere here on our plane of existence. You go find them where they are. Mm-hmm. So a familiar place like that essentially would be a good meeting spot for
Well, like, for instance, I'll tell you, for me, when somebody has crossed over, they'll either show up in a spot that is relevant to them. One of your family members, I didn't know, he just randomly popped. Like, was trying to make contact. I felt like almost like a nagging feeling to channel him.
Channel my grandpa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I described where I saw him, and you said, holy crap, that's his, like, old house.
Yeah, the one I visited.
A lot of times, it's, like, where a lot of memories were made, I noticed that, like, or something that's significant to them.
Yeah.
You know? And it's either that or it's this random field that's almost, it's like very, very beautiful, very ethereal, I guess you could say. Is that the right word?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. It's like dusk and there's like mountains in the background and it's just this field. And I noticed like it's almost like a waiting area. Not a waiting area, but like a spot that an easier spot that spirits will wait. If they've crossed over for me to talk to them. So I don't know if it's specific to me or what. And then there's also the opposite of that if they're still stuck here. Like almost like a wooded area that's dark and gray. So that's how I can kind of tell. And I can tell because like when they crossed over, it's a lot of like light, like bright. It's just bright behind them. Almost like, I guess you could picture like how they would describe like a halo or something like that. That's kind of what it reminds me of. Like, just a glow about them. Like, energy. Like, light energy.
You know, we just opened a can of worms, right?
Why?
Why do people message me about all the time? Because of what I can do? I go in people's mind forests and clear them out. Now you don't have people message us and ask if you can talk to their past relatives.
But yeah, that's how I see
relatives. The point I was getting to is that when you remote view, you go to different locations depending on who or what you're talking to. Right? Yeah. So, like I say, entities or stuff like that. But when they're here, when you go to a location, like, that's a good one. Mm. When you remote viewed into our first oppression case, right? You remote viewed into their home to see what they were dealing with.
And it's different because it's like I'm seeing on the ether, like any imprints from the ether onto the 3D essentially.
But essentially, you were in their house.
Yeah.
But you saw what was in there.
Yeah, because, so, I'm trying to just see if there's like a visual way I could describe to you guys how I see it, but.
You don't watch enough comic book movies.
Probably not.
Or movies in general.
So, it was like I could see like the people, but I wasn't like people as in like the people that live in the house, but I wasn't seeing that. I was seeing like the imprints of the ether onto the house, meaning what was going on. So one of the things that I saw was like on the ceilings, there was like black tar, like just muck, like black slush. And it was in the rooms that they were being like, everyone could feel something going on. So, like, in particular, there was a couch, right? And this is where one of the guys slept. And there was tar that was dripping from above on the ceiling onto the couch. And that's where he said he felt like stuff was watching him when he slept and stuff like that. And then, so apparently in this case, somebody was bringing stuff to the house, like calling things into the house. So I went to that person's bedroom, essentially, and this big, long, like, it looked like an evil Groot is the best way I could describe it.
Yeah.
You know, he came out like, why am I there? I shouldn't be there. Like, all of that.
But he called you what all demons call you.
I don't know why they say that.
We talked about this in the booze. Like, how I got my six names and stuff like that. But the demons, they call me Order Keeper. But they call Megan the Witch.
I don't know why they do that. I'm not, like, a practicing. Like, I like spooky stuff, like, witchy stuff, all that.
But I generally, well, if I do that, I should do that episode with you. Because I got an idea now. Your bonus episode about your abilities.
Yeah.
But you put down protection spells or protection energy in a way a witch would put down protection spells. So you're essentially like generate. We explained this on Send the Boost, but I'll talk about it here as well. But how, like, I always describe myself as a natural shaman. I was like born to do this. Like all my abilities are naturally in me. Mm-hmm. Your ability to put down essentially what considered magic as protection is naturally in you.
Well, because I use essentially, I guess you could call it like symbols, but that's more like energy alchemy type stuff.
Yeah. But I mean, they see you as it, but they also, they're afraid.
Well, I think also it depends too on the time period, because anybody psychic was obviously called a witch.
Yeah.
So if you're dealing with like, I don't know, like just angry, negative spirits that are coming through that, like see me as like, oh, so she's a witch, you know, like, because we've had that too.
Well, at, like, when they're in the ring too, when they call out to you, like, free
yeah.
witch.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, it's weird. I don't know.
And
it's
someone's weird. Going, what the fuck? Yes, they've called out to Megan before.
Yeah. They keep, yeah, yeah. Weird stuff.
Everybody, like, holy shit. No. Well, yeah. You're ignoring these days anyway.
Yeah. Blocking is easy. But yeah, that's how I would describe remote viewing. And sometimes, like, I go and, I mean, I have control once I go, like, how not to, like, bring things back and stuff like that if I don't want to. You know, obviously, body bagging is a new thing. I hate saying it because it's not, now that
put
I
him
say
in
it,
a body bag.
Now that I keep saying it.
I just keep reminding Karate Kid scene.
Yeah. No. But I guess that's how I see remote viewing. And I know, like, I want to strengthen it to where I can do anything, because if I could start locating specific people, I would not mind remote viewing and finding people that are supposed to, need to be found, in a sense.
Well, you freaked out a friend of mine by going to his house and seeing what he was doing.
Oh, yeah. There's a little bit of delay in time, but yeah, I went. He was kind of skeptic about everything.
Yeah.
There's a couple times that I even surprised myself. I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to go with this. One was, he was one of those types of people that wanted, like, proof, you know? Like, prove to me your abilities. And you could tell, like, and I hate doing that. And that's the one thing I will not do, I'm sorry, is if somebody is like, give me proof. I don't believe you. Give me proof. Like, I will give you proof, but you're going to come at me with a attitude like that. I'm not going to.
Mm.
I just don't like it. Anyways. But
you went to his room, you told him where everything was and what he was wearing. He goes, what the fuck?
Yeah, he was like freaked out. And after that, then there was a couple of times where, like, I told him information. He was like, how do you know who I'm talking to? Yeah. And so it's just, and for me, I don't like, and I've said this before, I don't force a lot of stuff. Every psychic has their own way of doing things, but I don't force anything. I just let it flow. So whatever information is thrown to me is what needs to be out there, I guess. I can ask questions about it, but I try not to poke and pry, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But there was one time we were doing a case where, again, they were kind of skeptical, which I understand, especially if you're not really one to believe in psychics, because there is a lot of people out there that can get missed messages, can get, like, I get it. And I remember I told them something in their pantry, right? And it wasn't, like, a typical, like, thing that's in everybody's pantry. I remember I described it was, like, what type of nut canister it was, what color top it had, what shelf it was located on, how much of nuts were in the thing. And because I said I was looking right at it, and I described more detail of the pantry. And so this guy was like, all right, let me go look. And sure enough, right there, he was like freaked out by it.
As my ability, but then again, you've had your psychic abilities for a long time, but you haven't actually put much time into it as much as you have in the last, about the same time as I have with mine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at the time I got my ability, you started giving, start putting more effort into yours, start practicing, getting stronger with it. So we've kind of been on the same path of getting our abilities stronger, except I had nothing beforehand, and now I am where I am now.
Yeah.
But focusing on and getting stronger, stuff like that, I know a lot of people will be like, if you could do that, you'd be awesome with it. Or you'd be extremely helpful. If you got your remote viewing skill down to such a good T that if someone showed you someone who was missing, you can find exactly where they are. Know where their body is lying in the woods or buried or whatever.
Here's the thing. We're going to get a little bit into the Megan's ability, I guess, because I never had dreams about missing people ever. Like, well, I take that back. Sporadically, I've never had a lot of dreams about missing people. But recently, I had a dream that, like, really shook me up. And it's in this whole, like, I don't know, month-long thing about, like, going deep into the abilities even more. But
there's stuff about your abilities that we've just recently found out that we'll talk about in that episode. So just explain it. It's not anything going to take over.
Yeah. But I saw... I was with somebody. I don't know who was with me. I just know there was somebody, like, it wasn't Isaac, but it was somebody that was there with me. And there was a girl, a little girl that was missing. She was 4 years old. And the family had tried to get answers from the police. It was, nothing was working. And so I went with the family to where I kept seeing, and I remember telling them, look, I don't know if I'm going to give you any information or anything. So just take it with a grain of salt. We'll just go out there and we'll see what I can find. Right. I ended up finding the girl's body before it even got, like, decomposed. They picked her up and they, like, you know, rushed her to the police state, whatever, I don't know, like, call. And I was just in the dream, like, just standing there, like, freaked out at the fact. And then the father of the girl asked me if I could, they don't know who did it, though, the running test, they don't know who did it, could I find out who did it? And so they sat me in, I was in their living room, and they said, we'll give you pictures of people we know. You tell us if they did it or not. And I ended up finding every single piece of evidence that could connect, and, like, basically gave all the evidence, like, where the evidence is located, where he got rid of the evidence, who it was. So it was a one and done job for the police because they had the evidence. Because that's the thing. I could tell you where somebody's missing, but there's no justice in that because, well, yeah, it is. I mean, you find out your thing, but they still use the family, the unsureness of who did it and the conviction. Because I took a lot of, anybody that knows, and I've said it multiple times on the podcast before, like, I wanted to be a detective in my, like, high school years, for solving missing persons and cold cases. And you have to have, I think it's almost like 100 and something pieces of evidence to convict somebody. So, you know, finding the bodies, you know, awesome and great and closes a lot of doors, but also not knowing who did it and not having justice behind it, you know? So.
Well, that. Yeah.
I don't know. That's a way somebody that can remote view could help people.
And there have been psychics who have helped out the police with certain things when they can't figure something out. Granted, not every single police department in the entire United States, or even the world. I don't know about the world. I know if so much as the United States, don't really chime into psychics and mediums and stuff like that. They kind of just throw them off to the side. They ask for their help every now and then, and anyone brings in a, we call it the hotline to tip on evidence and stuff like that. Hence why families usually put up their own rewards to see if anyone will come forward to help out. But which leads me to talk about the world's, I don't call him the greatest remote viewer, but he became the remote viewer that was so skilled that he became a psychic spy. The original psychic spy. I'm talking about Joe McGonagall. And for those who don't know who the hell I'm talking about, I didn't know who he was until I heard his name. He was a soldier in the U.S. Army. Served around the end of Vietnam, stuff like that, because he wanted to go to Vietnam. He wanted to serve and stuff like that. That's what he wanted to do. And he ended up doing the military. While he was in Germany at the time, he was eating dinner, literally, with his, I don't think it was his wife at the time. And all of a sudden, he started choking like he was being poisoned. And his heart almost stopped. And he ran out of the building thinking that he was poisoned, like someone wanted to kill him. Like they're assassinating him, right? Which is actually true, and explains later in his life how he found out. But he ran out of the restaurant, landed in the street. Some nice people were trying to give him CPR to save him. They called an ambulance. And he said he had an out-of-body experience. He left his body and saw the entire scene happening. And they saw him. He saw them take his body in the back of an ambulance and drive it to the hospital. And he followed his body all the way to the hospital when they finally kind of shocked it back in. He said when he was out, he said he looked up behind him. We saw a warm light, right? And he thought, oh, this is the light that everyone talks about when they see the light in the tunnel and all that stuff. And he said it felt so much peace and so much ease, he didn't want to go back. But he was told, or at least he thought in his head, it's not your time yet, dude. Well, now he didn't hear dude, but basically, yeah. It's not your time yet, man. Imagine it's funny, like, it's not your time yet, dude. You got to go back.
Yeah.
Like, God's a surfer? What the hell? But no, he popped back in his body, felt himself shocked, and like it, you know, the electric paddles, and he came back in his body. Find out that he was poisoned. Didn't know why or who, right? Later on, when he started working for the CIA, and he explained the story of how he became the agent he was talking to. Oh, I know what happened to you. They use a two-pronged poison system. He's like, what are you talking about? They don't mix them together. They put one poison, let's say, in your drink and then one in your food. When you eat and drink combined, they're in your stomach. It sets for a little bit. When they combine your stomach a couple minutes later, boom, you're dead.
Dang.
Right? It's a tactic they used to use. Because it's untraceable and all that stuff. Because you combine them together, poison that potent will automatically kill the person that. But if you want them to wait a little bit, right? So eat the dinner, leave. They leave the restaurant, they go to the bathroom, boom, they die there. And you're not to blame. Right? So, yeah, secret spy stuff. Crazy crap. Anyway. But after he had that experience, he served time, of course, all across the world. It wasn't until he started meditating and understood remote viewing, and he got better with it. But his form of remote viewing wasn't like yours. His was he only saw what was here. Right? He didn't go and see spirits or ghosts or anything. At least he never talked about it anyway. And if you want more in depth about his entire life and everything he said he's done, there is a 6-hour interview he did with Sean Ryan. And Sean Ryan has had a lot of military psychic people, and he had a few other people that had to talk about weird stuff. So I think Sean Ryan's starting to get into that field of like talking about paranormal stuff or psychic stuff. Or he had Dr. Greer on there. Talking about alien stuff on there as well. So, anyway, but if you want more about Joe McGonigal, yeah, 6-hour interview. Good luck going through it. It took me a couple of days, but yeah, 6-hour interview on there. He goes through his entire life, everything he'd experienced, and stuff like that. But no, Joe McGonigal became a psychic spy for the military, and then the CIA, and of course, any 3-letter agencies out there with finding people. Finding agents, finding their agents. One of the weirdest things ever to happen to him, he said he was on base at the time, and some guys busted into his area where he was sleeping, woke him up in the middle of the night saying, we're going to show you something. We need you to tell us what you see. He's like, what? And he woke up, and they showed him a picture of a pyramid, right? And he focused on it. He's looking at it, and he's like, this is old. This is older than our pyramids. But the picture's new. You know, where did you get this, right? He said, the agent talked to him, said, never mind that. Where do you see this? What do you see? All right, what do you see in it? What do you see underneath it? Where do you see it? And he said what he saw underneath it were like these cryo chambers with all these beings, I said, that looked human but not human. And then while he was doing that, while he's looking where it was, Jim McGonigal, you know, his remote viewing skills kind of zoomed out of the pyramid while he where he was, and he found out where he was. He was on Mars.
Oh, shit.
Joe McGonigal remote viewed all the way to Mars. I want to test you with that. See if you can go to the moon, at least. It's not that far away. I mean, granted, it's far away, but it's a lot closer to Mars. Anyway. Yeah.
But that's the thing, too, I was reading, because I didn't, like, do a whole bunch on Joe McGonigal, because you wanted me originally, and that's why we even did this episode, to look more into it, to polish up my like remote viewing skills even more, maybe find some insight onto him. And I couldn't. Every time I would listen to him speak, talk, whatever, it consistently took me to a specific spot. And it made me very uncomfortable. Like, you should not be here.
Maybe think he might have learned some kind of defense, something he implanted himself, something. If some other remote viewers try to find him, there's some kind of like it reroutes him, kind of like a hacking system, right?
Okay, so I'll just say what it looks like. It looked like a lab, like an interrogation thing. Bright lights, not anything like you would see on Stranger Things. It was almost like a padded soundproof room, but it was like a lab.
It could be anywhere.
Yeah, I know. But like, and that's why I love AIs, because anytime I remote view to these places and I see these things or see people, I go straight to AI and type in what I see and get a picture. Because I know, like, at the beginning of our podcast, I used to always say, oh, I wish I could draw so I could show you guys my visions and shit. But now with AI, I can just, as long as I'm descriptive, I could somewhat give you guys an image. But it was like a, like, I could see it. It's like a padded room with a door. And on the door, there's a small plate that says 1192 on it. A small plate, like a plate, like somebody would have on their, like, desk that has, like, their name, like, if they work in an office or whatever. And it's like a name plate, but it's 1192.
Well,
but every time I would go and channel that guy or even listen to him, it would just automatically take me there.
Something significant to him, maybe. I don't know. I have to go back and listen to the interview, which I don't want to. 6 hours of a podcast. Anyway. But no, Joe McGonagall, he became like he would find agents. He would train other people on doing so. He even did like in the 80s or something, he did a... he talked in front of Congress, but of course it wasn't televised or anything like that. But he had people there saying, you know, like, oh, this is the devil's work or something like that. And he even had people in the same thing say, oh, you're a gift from God or whatever like that. So he had kind of like half and half people tell him things. And they would ask him, like, where's this? Where's that? Explain this. Tell us what you see. All that kind of stuff. And it happened a lot with, like, them testing him a lot on showing him a picture, saying, what do you see at this location? He would describe what he see to them, and then they report back, and they would use that information for whatever reason.
Well, see, like, for me, how I started practicing it, I couldn't even, like, look up his information on it. Actually, if I look up a lot, like, too much on remote viewing, it starts sending me to, like, haywire places. It just doesn't make sense to me. But, so with me, how I started practicing is online. You have all those, like, random generators, and I actually had where it would do a random longitude and latitude, and I wouldn't look up where it's at. I would just start describing what I see, and then I would go in there and type in the longitude and latitude and see where it takes me.
But you said it. This one of the guys that tested them, they gave him numbers, and he would find the locations that they said, and he would tell them what they see. So this is before we had satellite viewing, but it was like before it was really good. So he'd use a lot of what he described certain places for their spies, I assume. He finally got out of the thing towards the 90s. Like, he started getting out of it, kind of retired from it altogether. Did freelance work every now and then. People would send him stuff. Military would ask him his advice on certain things, but other than that, kind of just disappeared. Dude's in his 80s now, right?
Yeah.
And he now works and teaches at the Monroe Institute. For those who don't know what the Monroe Institute is the college kind of thing or institute or whatever. Anyway, they're the foremost on remote viewing, astral projection, CE5, contacting aliens and stuff like that. They do all that stuff at this place, right? So if you ever want to go there to like a seminar on like remote viewing or astral projection, they would have Joe McGonagall and a few other famous other skilled people in the field. They're giving lessons and teachings and stuff like that. What's going on with you?
I don't know what the freak that is. Am I ear red? This one.
Well, you're grabbing at it.
Well, no, but like, is it red?
A little bit, yeah.
Side of my ear is not cooperating with me.
All right.
I don't know. It's getting really hot really fast. Like, abnormally.
You getting self-conscious about something?
I don't know.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, no, he was the foremost knowledgeable person on remote viewing. There have been other remote viewers throughout the world who were known for other things, but he was the guy back. The guy that so much so that the military and the CIA and spies would use him for their skills. But that was the most concerning thing, the fact that everything he talked about in the interview was honest to truth. He has a military sense of mind when it comes to remote viewing. Like I said, he never talked about spirits or anything like that his entire time he was in the interview, nor was he ever asked. Yeah, I think he would have brought it up at some point in time. But talking about seeing the alien bodies and chambers underneath this pyramid that was supposed to be on Mars, that was like the... Is he fucking telling the truth? Because yeah. Of that, that opens conspiracies out the wazoo. But then again, alien pyramids on Mars is not something new. At least, not something you would even think about. But anyway. But I talk about him when we talk about remote viewing, because he's known as the OG when it comes to it.
So one thing that's interesting that I did find out about Joe McGonagall, and this is before even the episode, but when you were telling me to research him, is that the remote viewers that did any kind of remote viewing, and then obviously him and stuff like that, this is a thing that kind of is different from how I remote view to how they remote view, is apparently, now granted, I don't have hours to just sit and remote view. And because I sometimes wonder if I did take that much time to sit and calm and meditate and stuff, where the heck I would go. Because just 30 minutes to an hour before I go to sleep, I go places, right?
Oh yeah, sorry. I forgot to mention that you were making the point, but yeah, Joe McGonagall, by the way, took days, if not weeks, to find places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, because sometimes I'm a little bit hard on myself, if I just see a small detail instead of a big detail, but I do it pretty fast. How you say, you could clear a house in 30 minutes, well, I can remote view really fast. You know?
Yeah, because at least you ask you, what's going on here? And you'll fade out for a second and you come back with information. You do it within less than a couple of seconds. You go there and come back real quick.
Yeah.
But...
Go ahead.
What were you saying?
No, and I think the most important thing with astral projection remote viewing is not doubting yourself. As we've said on multiple episodes, that is my biggest downfall. Or not downfall, but my biggest issue. And then two... I'll talk about this more in the abilities episode, but I noticed recently with remote viewing and stuff, using your other senses while you're remote viewing and astral projection is also very important.
I was listening to Let's Get Freaky podcast. Oh, by the way, I've been on that one too. I totally forgot to mention that. Well, we haven't recorded since then, but Tommy from Let's Get Freaky podcast, I was on his show earlier this month. The episode released that Thursday, so you can go listen to me on there. Blow his mind. And I love his accent, because it sounds like this when he talks to you. He has that kind of rasp to his voice. It's probably why are you making fun? Anyway, and I actually went on there again. Now he's going to have me on a third time. So, yeah, go listen to me. Go blow his mind. Talk about quantum bleeding and stuff on his on his podcast. But while I was listening to his episode, he had a woman on talking about someone I didn't know about. A guy named Jim Fallon. Not Jimmy Fallon. Jim Fallon. Who leads the HUNA? HUNA?
Excuse me.
See that?
HUNA. But why are you saying it like that?
I don't know.
The HUNA?
The
HUNA?
HUNA International. Anyway, the HUNA article. Anyway. He leads remote viewing and teaches it and has his own stuff as well. So there's plenty of places out there that if you, listening, wanted to try your hand at remote viewing, granted, it's like playing basketball, right? Or any other sport or any kind of technique. There's always those who are prodigies who are like, how are you so freaking good without ever practicing and stuff like that? And everyone else who has to work day and night just to get, a glimpse of some other, their opposite room. So yeah. I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm just saying it does seem easier for other people.
I think remote viewing is probably the easiest for somebody that doesn't have abilities.
Yeah. But yeah, there's the Monroe Institute that Jim Fallon guy. I guarantee you could just look him up, remote viewing Jim Fallon, and you'll find his...
Would you ever go to a school for abilities? I don't know if I would. I don't know. When you start talking about, like, government involvement and weird societies, I just get weirded by
places
it.
Like that, I guarantee you, people say that... That was my stomach.
Oh, I was about to say, who's at that window cooing? It's your freaking stomach.
That was my bowels, really.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to be farting here soon.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway.
I literally thought someone was at the window. I was like...
It's just my ass.
Straight up being a ghost. Oh, my God. Okay.
Anyway.
Why did it...
I don't know. I control what my ass does.
That wasn't your ass. That was your stomach.
Well, the area. Lower intestines.
Your intestines was like, I could be a ghost too.
Then it comes out not sound like a ghost at all. Anyway. What was I saying?
God.
Yes, remote viewing. Yes, the whole thing we're talking about. You can do it too, right? What was I saying? Oh, yeah. Places like that. Institute, Lombardo Institute, that place. If there is schools for, you know, teaching psychics and stuff like that, I guarantee the CIA, FBI, whoever, secret governments, they use those as recruits to see their next psychic soldiers and stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which people, according to them, they're not doing it anymore. But
I think that is how everybody comes out as... I feel like now would be a more prominent time than ever.
Like, it's come out already. Like, there's declassified CIA documents that they've had trained people on... remote viewing and astral projection and then seeing things and then techniques they taught their soldiers, their spies in order to like withstand torture and all that stuff, right? It's all out there for you to learn on your own, declassified documents and stuff like that. The thing is, though, a document has to exist ever so long before it becomes declassified. So that's like old information. Who knows what they're doing now? But if that was true, we wouldn't put so much effort into technology to get stronger with hacking or viewing like that. Because remote viewing is a great way to spy, essentially, without ever leaving a trace behind. Unless the other, you know, peoples that you're spying on have their own psychic soldiers and stuff like that. Which the most scariest story I think I've ever heard when it comes to remote viewing was a woman who was good at remote viewing. I think it's a scary story shared somewhere. I want to say Belief Hole or some other paranormal podcast I listened to before. But she remote viewed into Antarctica because she wanted to see what was going on there. See if there was any pyramids, see if there was any military bases whatsoever. She said she was able to remote view and search the entire area and did just exactly what she expected. Just a desert of ice and snow, wind blowing. So she kind of floated around to see if she could find anything particularly going around the area. And when she came close to an area that she looked like promising, like, oh, there's like buildings there. She didn't even have to get, you know, within 100 yards of the buildings before she saw these shadowy figures floating around the area protecting it. And the second she got, they saw her and she saw them, it's one of them started chasing her. And she said, oh, there was like a soldier, a psychic soldier protecting the spot. And she had like the remote view and technically zip, boom, across the world to technically lose this person. It's kind of like hacking, right? You're hacking a certain location. All of a sudden, oh crap! And you're hacking the hacker, like saying, oh, he's there. Like you don't know where the signal's coming from. You're trying to trace it, but it's sending you all across the world. Until finally, she lost the person and was able to come back to her body.
Mm.
Whether that's true or not, I don't know. I'm not saying go to Antarctica. Stop doing that. I know you're looking over somewhere.
No.
Yeah. You have to have asked you before. All you saw was ice.
No, I've never went to Antarctica.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of any places. Well, any places that we've covered on the podcast, 9 times out of 10, I've remote viewed.
Yeah.
So I don't know why this is. I don't know if this is somebody that needs help or. Is that your stomach again? Holy moly, it sounds like
Better ghost? Hurry.
We a better... freaking spirit of a girl going off.
There's a hard fart ready to come out, so you better hurry up.
But when I started researching, this kind of came up, like, to mention this on the episode. So when I was talking about remote viewing and trying to gauge, like, what you guys would want to hear and stuff like that, one of the things that popped up was that I needed to mention this person. I don't know specifics about this person, but I know... I don't know, like I said, I don't know if you need help or this is going to resonate with somebody or what, but I saw this, you know, like the desk that you would have in like a room. It's not a, it's kind of like a computer desk, but it's not, it's just like where you would do like homework and stuff. Mm. On the desk is almost like a pendant or like one, you know, those pins that people would wear, like old fashioned. A lot of the ladies at church. Brooch, there you go. Is a brooch of, I'm not sure if it's a bee or a ladybug, but it's pink. So I'm thinking a ladybug of some sort.
Ladybug's usually red, but I can see a pink.
I don't know. Ladybug. It's pink. It's something with pink, right? But it's sitting on top of the desk. And the desk is like very plain, but there's a lot of things on it. I'm trying to see if there's... But specifically, it keeps showing me the pink brooch. That's either a bumblebee or... Like, it's not the color like the animal should be or the bug should be. Mm. But it's like either a ladybug or a bumblebee.
Well, stripes would be a bee. Dots would be a ladybug.
But it really doesn't have... Just like a solid body. It could be a beetle, even. Mm. But it's like that, you know what I'm talking about?
Like a beetle or bug.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a bulbous body, kind of, yeah, with legs. So I don't know if that resonates with anybody, but the whole time I was researching, that kept...
popping up.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I'll post a picture on my Instagram, what I'm seeing, so you guys can see it. If it resonates with anybody, I don't know.
Let's hope someone's listening going, holy shit. Yeah. Talking about me.
Yeah, it's in a bedroom. I know that. It's in a bedroom. So it could be like maybe a childhood bedroom. It could be a bedroom currently. I don't know.
Which is strange because usually you don't remote view into people's homes unless you have a picture or something. But this is like the universe telling you to look at this.
I don't know. It. Yeah, I don't know. Like it only happened when I said we were going to do this episode. And I was kind of like, because obviously when you do an episode, there's like 20 different avenues you could go down. And sometimes I kind of like channel to see what you guys would like, what would resonate the most with, you know, our listeners kind of thing. And so I kind of go that direction. But yeah, I kept saying and then it just a nag to say it. So.
Well, out of most of your, well, all your psychic abilities, and mediumship abilities that you hold, remote viewing is your strongest. So that's what helps out with the most with our investigations. Hence why, and remote viewing is always something, a topic that comes out among psychics and mediums. Even, like I said, psychic spies and stuff like that has been a forepoint of a way to spy and way to view things without physically being there. And also without leaving a trace. Unless they have some detective system that can, you know, say, ooh, someone's there, right? But like I said, remote viewing also seems to be a skill that most people can learn. And there's a lot of research out there for anyone to technically gain some kind of remote viewing skill. And I might look into it.
Yeah.
See if I can.
Go right. For it.
I don't know if I can get... I know I can't get as good
that
as
might,
you.
That might help, though, your...
I said I'd be far more dangerous if I could remote view and pull from locations that I physically am. Because secondly, I would never ever have to leave.
Oh, yeah. You could do that.
I don't think I can.
I don't
you know.
Why?
Because you can remote view and body bang.
Yeah.
Imagine us doing it together at the same time. Holy crap. Nowhere would be safe.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that wraps us up here.
Yeah. I think we might do a part two to remote viewing down the line, because that is a major part of my abilities.
Yeah.
And what I kind of unpacked recently about it, this whole freaking like part six of spiritually awakening your abilities.
Yeah. Well, I, and to look, what we should do if we do, we probably do a part two, is see if we can find any Reddit stories of people who remote viewing what they've seen.
Yeah. I remember seeing a long time ago a TikTok video about a girl that remote viewed to the Cecil Hotel and she was terrified.
Yes. She talked about seeing like a portal that all these fucking demons and creatures were coming out of on top of the building. Yeah.
And I remember she said like, don't remote view. I remember because...
Don't go there!
Yeah. No, because she was saying about how you shouldn't remote view if you've never been to the place.
Or it's like heavily haunted. Like really badly haunted.
Yeah.
Or it seems dangerous. I don't know what the heck word she used.
I think the worst place I've ever remote viewed was that witch's graveyard thing.
The one we're planning to go to?
And the Bellwitch area. That was another one that was really bad. I actually was sick when I left that energetically.
Anyways,
yeah.
So what are we...
What are we... Oh, then Monday... Should be coming out Monday this week, hopefully, if we stick to this dang on schedule.
Should be nothing in our way.
Yeah, we have a lot. Like, when I say it's a lot, it's like Monday, Tuesday, Friday is bam, bam, bam. Like, but this one is one that I'm excited about because I've had experiences with this. And a lot of these stories are kind of floating. And one of our favorite episodes, well, my favorite episodes that we cover is the Black Eyed Kids. But this is the thing about how some people are seeing adults, like not kids, but adults that also have solid black eyes. And they get that fight or flight feeling that this person's not human.
The majority of black eyed kids sightings have been done early, say, in the 60s, 50s, 80s, 90s. There's a lot of sightings then. So what do kids do? Well, all kids grow up.
So, are these creatures growing into black-eyed adults?
So, Black-Eyed People is the episode that's coming out next.
Yes. And I retell... I don't know if I actually told it on an episode or not, but an encounter that happened with me. This is like the second or third time, so...
Yeah. So, look forward to that. By the time you listen to this episode, we should have already released our bonus episode we did with Sendaboos. Sendaboos.
Golly.
I
get
the thunder, so it makes me sound, I don't know, send booze. You hear our us episode, if they haven't found out about it yet, we talk about urban legends and stuff. So if you haven't listened already, go listen to it now. And then we'll have more bonus episodes, including Megan's spiritual
abilities, I guess. And because somebody wanted us a long time ago to do an actual spiritual awakening episode, like how you navigate and stuff. So that. This episode is also going to cover that as well, as abilities.
But look forward to that, because we're going to get right back into it and start sharing some more stuff. But you can catch our social medias at Hidden in the Shadows Podcast on Instagram, Hidden the Shaw 6 on X, Hidden in the Shadows Podcast 2 on TikTok, or links to all our social media. And always you can listen to us at HiddenInTheShadowsPodcast.com. And as always, catch your weirdos in the next one.
Yup.